Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Monday, 11th of January, 2021. And we have markets, although we ended on quite a strong note on Friday, and that in the US, despite a pretty ugly jobs report. I'll talk a bit more about that later. We have a rather ugly start to the week in Asia. I'm not sure exactly why there's been this sentiment shift in markets. Certainly one market that's been suffering a lot overnight has been the cryptocurrency space. And actually, I'll jump my slide deck just a tad because since I brought it up and because it's what's moving the most, Bitcoin and Ethereum correcting some 20% or so from the Friday highs, at least Friday in the case of Bitcoin. Ethereum actually peaked out to new highs over the weekend. A bit thin on news, but I think one thing that may have caused this immediate cause of this correction could have been eToro in Europe requiring the full margin on its CFD. So no longer allowing any leverage on bets in favor of crypto coins or against crypto coins for that sake, for those who are trying to sell it. Pity them until now anyway, and this correction settling in overnight. So certainly a test, I think, of people's psychology and ability to hold these things. And just, again, a warning on the scale of volatility. And this is ferocious stuff to see any instrument moving on the order of 25% in just a few sessions. But Peter, I don't know if there's anything else you're pulling out of the news stream or why we're seeing this dip overnight.
Yeah, we have this U.S.-China confrontation lingering in the market. And U.S. banks are delisting 500 products that are basically linked to some of the stocks that have now been banned by under the security argument from the U.S. So that includes index linkers to the Hang Seng index, which is the biggest one in Hong Kong. Other major Chinese mobile warrants, etc. So it's just, you know, the decoupling between the two countries continues. How much of that is part of it? I also just think that, John, it was a pretty good ramp up last week, and the reflation trade was all about rising U.S. Interest rates, and with that, emerging markets. Emerging market had a explosive Friday, to say the least. And I think the ECF that tracks the MSCI emerging markets index was up 2.6% on Friday. So it's probably just a little bit of profit taking and meme reversion in markets. But I've pulled out, talking about the reflation trade, talked about the FTSE 100 on slide 3. It's the index that are up the most this year so far. As you can see on the small insert, it's up more than 6% compared to US equities, only up 2%. So I think this is very, and Brazil emerging markets as well in the same bucket, just slightly behind UK. So it's the FTSE 100 has a very high index weight to the two sectors, energy and materials, and that's the reason why it's the best position index for the reflation trade. So and it's probably the most liquid because it's not very easy to trade Brazilian equities, and you can do the emerging markets, but then you assuming some other exposures that you probably not want, maybe. And UK has some large multinational companies, Rio Tinto, etc., in the index. So it's it's a more pure exposure. But and I don't have a lot to add to the equities today. Besides that, we have earnings this week that starts the Q4 earnings season. So on Friday is the big first day with the JP Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo reporting on Friday. But before I leave this conversation, guys, I just quickly also want to highlight on slide 6, which is the reflation trade. We had that discussion, you and I, Ole. Whether commodities have maybe run too much, too far ahead of itself, is the same with commodity sector equities. I just want to highlight on slide 6 the Chinese PPI, which is probably the biggest link to inflation down the road, because China is the world's factory. So when they produce a price index rise out of China, it indicates that prices are coming through the system. And we had a beat for the numbers in December, and it's rising now to the highest level since February 2020, so almost a year ago. We're still in negative territory, but I feel pretty confident that when we move into January and February's numbers, that we'll have positive price impact again from Chinese producers.
And especially March, April numbers, the basing effects, because those are year on year on that Chinese PPI.
Yes.
And of course, we saw the massive dip there was in March. Oh, let's take us through commodities here. We're not exactly seeing reflation in the commodity space, certainly not in gold after another little wipeout Friday and actually overnight to a degree as well.
That's right, John. And I think just to finish off the Asian story, I think we can't avoid not talk about the viruses as well. We're seeing lockdowns now also coming back to China. We're seeing a new variant is spreading in Japan. I think that's probably also have playing its part in the slightly more subdued tone that we're seeing today. But you are right. We've had as Peter mentioned, a very, very strong start or continuation of the commodity rally during the first part of this year. It extends the rally we saw back in December, November and December. I put in the speculative interest or speculative positions as of last Tuesday, basically just before this the massive events in Georgia and Washington, which really turbocharged the reflation and the stimulus expectations. But you can see already before then, we reached a new record high in terms of number of lots held in across energy, metals, and agriculture. And just on the inserts in the table, I'll put out an update on analysis.saxo later. But you can see there's no short positions are held across any of these commodities. And I think the market, we're seeing these inflows. Market are looking for value. They're looking for cyclical commodities. They're looking for the reflation. And as Peter mentioned, the underlying reasons for the market commodity rally to continue is absolutely there. The inflationary pressure is building, and that will continue to underpin the market. The only risk, I think, is in the short term that we potentially have priced in too much too soon. And commodities especially are not known for going in a straight line. So I think on that basis, I'll just have to sound a little bit of a word of caution just in the short term. Remember as well, we are not even 2 weeks into the new year, so we can still run into some short-term period of profit taking. So just keep that in mind. The sectors most exposed right now from that position is the grain sector and the energy space. I mentioned you mentioned gold and silver. They stumbled badly on Friday. The rising dollar and the rising yield story has really taken the market or caught the market off guard here. We saw continued buying up until last Tuesday, but then the events in Washington and Georgia, as mentioned, really has changed at least the short-term outlook. But I think the key is just to focus on inflation and our expectations that inflation will continue to be a major theme in 21. And I think with that in mind, I think this is just another temporary setback. But obviously it was pretty painful. 10% correction in silver from the highs. And the ratio now back away from the 70 level that we've seen recently. So looking forward to find support. The first break above 1853 would be the first sign that we potentially are starting to see a bit of a that has been it's slightly higher. We need to go up towards the 80s before we can start to see a light at the end of the tunnel.
All right. Yeah, that U.S. yield breakout, which we heavily emphasized last week, is so critical, and especially whether the yield rises continue. On Friday, an influential voice on the FOMC, Vice Chair Clarida, was out speaking, and he sounded very optimistic and on the state of the economy and where things are going, given the ongoing concerns with COVID, and that purchases would continue at the current level through the end of this calendar year. But being so specific about through the end of this calendar year suggests that he wants to buy an option on maybe tapering beyond that if things turn out well. But importantly, for a signal to the market, he said he was not concerned about the current level of yield. So that's sort of suggesting that at least there's no concern yet, not just about to pull the yield curve control button or lever at any point in time soon. So it allows those yields to go higher if that's what they want to do. Maybe the market actually in control of pricing long interest rates to some degree at least, and that has ramifications for the dollar, of course, as well. And that's why the dollar is stronger, I firmly believe. But it was felt first in dollar yen, but spreading a bit more broadly now. And you can see on slide 5, euro dollar sort of fully correcting the last little bit of a leg higher there. 121.80 75 or so was a resistance area on the way up. But I think trend support starts to come in 120.60 or so. That's the 38.2% retracement of this last rally wave. And then 120 is sort of existential for the trend if we're not able to sustain that. So that's what I'll be looking for further support. And I think U.S. yield gains act as a headwind unless we start seeing a more a tighter coupling across bond markets. So you're not seeing, for example, the same types of yield rises in Europe, where we have the German 10-year still bogged down in very low levels. So that's what we're looking for, signals in the currency space. And then just to emphasize how the market continues to, given that strong close on Friday in equities and risk sentiment, just continues to look through anything data-wise, and specifically the weak December jobs report out of the U.S. So on slide 7, you can see the minus 140 print non-farm payrolls. That's the black line. And then note on the unemployment rate, we have this silly drop in the unemployment rate to 6.7% from the prior month. But that is only due to a lower participation rate, because there's simply people that aren't in the labor force because they've been out of the labor force for so long. Normal would be more like 63%, because you can see in the darker blue line, that which means the unemployment rate would be more like, let's call it 8.2 or higher. And I'm sure there are people that are seeing lower income as well because of the slow services activity. So we're far from normalization. We're going to need to see a lot more stimulus and get to the other side of this vaccine for what is priced in across markets to be justified. I think it's safe to say. So I think the earnings calendar will be very interesting as we get into the end of this week and into next week. Not so much on the economic calendar, as you can see on slide 10, but I think we're all very interested politically in how the path from here to the January 20th, next Wednesday, Biden inauguration. It looks like Trump is either on course for an impeachment attempt, a 25th Amendment, if that is not called by Vice President Pence inside the next 24 hours. House Democrats have threatened to move forward with impeachment proceedings, which would effectively mean eventually a Senate trial. If the Senate also impeaches, are there enough Republican votes for that? Unknown. And that could end Trump's political career, even if the Senate trial would have to happen after he leaves office. Alternatively, Trump could do a Nixon and resign. Here we are 9 days before inauguration. A bit of a circus, to say the least, but I think little transmission into markets unless we see some more profound, I guess, public unrest or something of that nature. Yeah, let's see how things turn out. Again, always keep an eye on the direction in U.S. yields. Very important after this break higher in the 10-year and 30-year, and we'll see what markets give us until tomorrow when we're up with our next Saxo Market Call. For today, thanks for joining.